I know it might be a little tackier than some folks like, a little more humid, but doggone it, 78, sun shining, blue skies. This is the August that you want in Chicago, an upper 80s, maybe 90. Well, that's the way it is, and that's why you go to the beach and the pool and ride your bike. So I hope you have a great weekend as we get ready for the John Williams Show all the way until 12 noon today. We'll continue to follow the numbers of those shot in Chicago over the weekend. It's sad, isn't it? But the same way you wonder what the score is of the White Sox or Cubs games last night, you also now wonder what are the numbers, what's the score for us in the city this weekend. And with about five dozen shot, more than that, more like six dozen last weekend, we have a high number as of this morning, but not as high as we did last weekend at this time. We'll keep you posted on that. Domitee's watching the news. And just one other thing as we get rolling here this morning, our news click is a daily web poll question we post at WGNradio.com. I don't know if I've shared it on my Facebook page just yet, but I will in a few minutes if we haven't already. And today, I'm not a very good predictor of these things, guys. The question asked about the NFL players taking a knee. Of course, that happened over the, Thursday night? Was that the first exhibition game of the week? And we've got exhibition football through the weekend, right, Joe?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame game, but that doesn't really count. That was, you know, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Thursday, yeah, is when it kicked off.
And so it was at Thursday's games that some of the players in the league took a knee. The president was upset about it, and so the NFL's kind of put the whole thing on hold, at least for the preseason, for the exhibition season, until they figure out what to do with players who continue to protest by taking a knee during the national anthem. We asked you about that, and you can still vote with your mouse if you go to WGNradio.com. We said, are you with the NFL players taking a knee? And you had three choices. You could have said, I'm with the players, take a knee, or I'm with the players, but guys, don't take a knee, or I'm with the owners. Now, maybe there's other options, but that was the gamut that we imagined. And my guess was going to be that most people would have fallen in the middle. Most folks would have said, okay, I see the players' point, so I'm with the players, but I wish they wouldn't do this. To me, that's the safest vote. That got the fewest votes so far. 68% of you are saying, take a knee, I'm with the players. Only 12% are saying, I'm with the players, but I wish they wouldn't take the knee. And then 20% are saying, I'm with the owners on this. They're the ones, of course, that are saying that the players have to stand at attention. If you feel differently or the same, go to WGNradio.com. You can vote with your mouse, click away, and tell us what you think about that issue. In a half an hour, we'll talk about the Oscars and the new categories, and we'll go back to some previous years and say, okay, this movie won. What would win if there was a category called Best Popular Film, whatever that means? We'll talk with Brian Tallarico from RogerEbert.com. Griffin seems to know a little bit about movies, and you and I will chime in, too. That's in the next half hour. But this is a topic that came up on our show this week, and we we mentioned it. We all went, oh, my gosh. But then we didn't have time to take the calls or the texts that were coming in. And Griff, help me if I'm right or wrong on this, but I think people were actually somewhat animated about this topic, right?
They were, yeah, and we moved on too quickly.
Or maybe wisely, I'm not sure. Because here's what happened, and you've got the audio of this, right, Griff? So this is at Wednesday's game, I think it was, between the Yankees and the White Sox. The umpire out in, I think it was shallow left, had something bothering him. And so he trots into the dugout, and the trainer starts to tend to him.
Something's going on here with Steve Donahue's. It can't be fun.
That's some freaky stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Steve Donahue is the trainer, and he reaches into the ear of the second base umpire, Bruce Dreckman, and he pulls out not a little moth, a giant live moth. And they were able to train the camera into the dugout so you could actually watch the process. And he didn't just like say, oh, there it is. He kind of went in. He went oil well in. He was drilling down, stuck these pair of needle-nose tweezers in there, and then fished this thing out. It was the size of a pelican, and it was alive, and it flew away. I exaggerate only that much. So I said, well, anything like that ever happened to you? Now, we all know that spiders climb into people's mouths and noses while they sleep and form colonies, and then...
We all know.
The next day, people wake up, sort of a nest of spiders in their head. That's common. I don't know if you've got any other stories to relate. Joe, are you sort of a bug fraidy cat? Are you squirming at this, or anything like that ever happened to you or family members of yours?
I'm not too afraid of bugs. You know, I'm typically the guy that'll kill the spider or the centipede, right. But... That moth video is so cringeworthy. I still just kind of cower into the corner whenever I see it.
And Domati, you strike me as the kind of guy that sort of runs and hides. Actually, Dom is hiding under the desk right now.
There was a spider on his microphone.
I have a sister-in-law, and this isn't about men or women, but I'll just tell you that I have a sister-in-law. I have a daughter-in-law who, if there is a spider that is the size of an eraser, you know, the end of your pencil, she will not go into that room. And I explain the physics to people that are so challenged. They go, think about it. You are to a spider or to a moth the size of an aircraft carrier, right? Like, think about that. Whose chances do you like? Who do you think is really intimidated by whom? And that logic doesn't seem to really resonate with people when I'm explaining this to them, maybe because they've got a giant moth in their ear. But it would seem to me like your chances are good in all human bug encounters. So so maybe just armed with that, you know,
I'm watching the video for the first time. How is the moth still alive?
That's the thing.
I thought that was your exaggeration. You weren't.
I think the moth is still alive because it was snacking on his cerebellum.
And pelicans are smaller than this moth. Jesus.
Planes are.
I've actually seen a pelican smaller than the moth that just came out of the umpire's ear. You got to think the umpire just kind of, then he trots back. And then, you know, umpires, because they're superhuman, he trots back out to the field like, no, I'm cool.
Right.
But he's sitting there focusing on the game now. Okay, sliding into second, I've got to make the right call. But in the back of his mind, he's going, wait a minute. A pelican just laid eggs in my skull. That was crazy. You know, that's got to be on his mind on the way home. I'll bet his wife wasn't thrilled about that, watching it on TV.
Well, and then the trainer's holding it in the dugout like a trophy fish. I mean, I know it's not the craziest thing to hold a moth, but just the fact that it was inside somebody's ear. Like, how is he just not running to the garbage can to hurl?
I think he was holding on to it so some intrepid sports reporter like you, Joe, could get the Moss comment on what had happened.
Moth, how do you feel?
Post-game.
Yankees win. What's your thought?
Mothgate.
Mothgate.
Hey, Jan, this is John, and I'm sorry. You're on WGN. Hello, Jan.
Good morning, Jen. I want to say I really enjoy all you guys on Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Yes, I did have a bug fly in my ear, went to urgent care, had a doctor who should have been on Saturday Night Live, flushed my ear out, showed me the bug. The bug was still moving around, and he took his fist and he smashed the bug in front of me.
Oh, geez.
So, no more bug, but oh, my God, it just really messes up your balance.
Oh, really? Did your equilibrium get thrown off for a while?
Yes, it did. And I was very happy when it was taken out of my ear. It wasn't as big as a pelican.
Yeah.
I want to say probably the size of a robin. So, but it's just such a weird feeling. So always cover your ears when you walk past bushes so nothing flies in them.
Well, there's a helpful tip. Well, see, now we've expanded the conversation. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it, Jan.
Oh, can I just say one thing really quick to Joe Brandt? I'm a big Cougars fan, Joe, and I love the Cougars, and I love listening to you and Connor on the radio when you call the games. Please don't ever, ever leave.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I was not expecting that. We got a game tonight. So
Joe does a good job, and they're wrapping the season up. Is it this weekend?
No, Labor Day weekend.
Oh, you've got some time to go. I knew that the season was shorter. I thought it was shorter still, but you go all the way to the end of summer then.
24 games left, yeah.
Okay, thanks for the phone call on that. And by the way, I hope Joe does leave someday because he's doing A-ball, and he wants to be Pat Hughes someday. He wants to be DJ. He wants to be Hawk. He wants to be one of those guys. I presume that's the track that you want to be on. Does it go that way for announcers, the way it does players? You're an A, then 2A, then 3A. Do you know much about that, Joe?
It can. Basically, much like any radio job, there's really no correct path. There's no right way of going about it. Right now, I really am enjoying my time in Kane County. It's in the Chicagoland area. I'm extremely lucky that I get to live in the city and still do this. So, I mean, right now I'm just having fun with the Cougars. Yeah, I mean, if there's something down the road worthwhile checking into, obviously. But honestly, for me, it's not too much of a goal to move up in the minors like it would be for a player right now.
I'm thinking of the guys in town who are in front of a microphone, and usually one of the guys in the booth has played the game. And you didn't play professional baseball, so now half of the seats are taken. And then the other half, it's guys who have worked sports and worked their way up. Maybe not A, double A, triple A, but they've been sports guys. Andy Mazur did San Diego Padres. He does sports here for us on WGN and does pregame coverage. And Andy was, you know, in the booth with Pat and Ron, and a couple of guys kind of, you know, finagled their way into the big seat that way. I guess there's just all sorts of paths for those of you that do what you do and do it well. Griff says you got to take a break. Okay, it's 1021, 312-981-7200. My brother once put a bingo marker in his nose. I'm just wondering if you have any other bug-related stories to share. Call or text 312-981-7200. In the next half hour, we go to the Oscars. Peggy, it's John. You're on WGN Radio. What can I do for you, Peggy?
Well, you were asking about things going up noses and ears, and I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor, so I've retrieved my share of foreign bodies from various parts, but I thought you would enjoy the story of my daughter. I was just cooking. I'm a mom, too, so I was cooking, and my daughter was smelling my Mother's Day gift, and she says, "Oh, Mommy, I can smell the flowers. I can smell the flowers." And there was a change in the tone of her voice. "Oh, Mommy, I can smell the flowers." And she had put two pussy willows up her nose.
Oh, no.
So it happens to everybody, and
What advice do you have, Doctor? I mean, so if you got a kid and there's something in their ear or up their nose, what do you tell people to do?
If there's a bug in the ear, drown it. Bugs want to keep crawling forward. They can't crawl backwards. So putting oil, mineral oil, olive oil, something in to drown it so it stops that scratch, scratch, scratching on your ear. If it's up the nose, if the child can blow their nose, that's something you can do. But you do want to get something out. You may need a doctor to reach up. I have special instruments that even the immediate care doesn't have that can do that. I think the most important thing is watch out for small objects. And batteries are really, really dangerous. If your child swallows a battery, puts a battery, a watch battery, hearing aid battery up their nose or swallows it, you really need to go to a ER and get somebody to take it out. Because the acid can burn a hole through the tissues inside. So that's the important one, batteries. Wow.
I'm glad I asked, although I got to go back to the olive oil in the ear. I've never heard that as advice to people.
Well, not everybody has mineral oil at home, and the oil sticks in their little breathing passages. Water may or may not get in.
Yeah, but I worried that that would actually damage my ear. If you said, "Hey, let's put some oil in your ear," I'd be worried about that. But you think that's...
Yeah, as long as you don't have a hole in your eardrum, it's not going to harm you.
How about that?
And even with a hole in the eardrum, the mineral oil is inert, meaning it's not going to affect it.
I'm really glad you called, Peggy. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for bringing up the topic. Have a good day.
How about that? Jerry. Hey, Jerry, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. Jerry, what can I do for you?
Good morning. Hey. No, I was just going to relay a story that happened some time ago with my sister-in-law. She was having some issues with her ear, and it hurt, and she could feel something. You know, it was almost a moving, you know, something in her ear, so she ended up at her doctor. And he looked in, and he says, "Well, I see the issue." And he reached in and pulled out a little spider that had chewed a hole in her eardrum.
Bingo. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, and he ended up chewing a hole right through it, and he pulled it out, showed her, and we all cringed when we heard the story. That was, just set that hair up on the back of your neck hearing the story about a spider crawling in her ear. But, yeah, that's what it done.
I don't know if Joe is reacting to something else, but I'm watching him.
I'm listening. I'm listening. That's exactly what it is.
And if the record will show, Joe moments ago said, oh, I'm not really squeamish about bugs. I'm the guy that's called in to kill the fly.
Yeah, not when it's in my ear.
Joe is horizontal on the floor right now. I appreciate the call, my friend. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, you're not so tough after all, are you, big guy? Little spider in the ear story, and boom, Joe goes down.
It's over now.
Down goes Joe!
I'm just hands over my ears, just shaking back and forth right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, some helpful advice, at least from the previous caller. I watched Moneyball the other night. It's one of those movies that if it comes on, they might as well put up an announcement. John, you will now not have 2 hours. Moneyball is on, and you will not be able to turn it off. I'll just send a text alert to all my friends. It should know. The app should be, John's watching Moneyball. He will be unavailable for 2 hours. And Joe and Domati and Griff and everybody will just get a thing going, oh, John, we can't text him right now. He's watching Moneyball. I was up till 3 a.m. one night. Then Edge of Tomorrow came on another night, and I thought, whew, there goes 2 hours. I couldn't stop watching Edge of Tomorrow. But those aren't the latest movies, and that sure isn't the movie news. The movie news this week is that the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences announced on Wednesday that they're creating a new category, and it's going to be called Outstanding Achievement in Popular Film. They said they wanted to stay relevant in a changing world. The Academy did, and so they've created a new category. Okay, we reached out to Brian Tallarico. He is the editor at RogerEbert.com. Of course, he's joined us many times before to talk movies, and here he goes again. Hey, welcome back to the show, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Tell me what you think of this new category.
I hate it. I really dislike it for a variety of reasons. I don't even know where to begin.
I do. I will guide you on this journey. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's start. Let's list the number of reasons this is a really bad idea. You can start. Let's just take turns. You do one, and then I'll do one.
I can't. And only maybe because I want to further the conversation, I think I'll bat at you two ideas that reasons why it might be a good idea. Griff, you know more about movies than I do, and of course our expert is Brian. So let's just talk a little bit about what it is. For instance, does anybody know what the criteria will be for a popular film? They're going to give an Academy, not Best Picture, but a Academy Award for Achievement in Popular Film. So what are the criteria for that category? Do you guys know?
Nope, hasn't been revealed yet. In fact, this is so vague and uncertain that there are some smart people who think this might just be a test balloon, that this might be the kind of thing that they're floating out there to see how people respond to it. It might not actually happen.
This will be the movies what hamburgers were to IHOP.
Exactly, right, because nothing has been defined yet. We have no idea what it means, which is part of the problem. I mean, will things be eligible in multiple categories? I mean, a lot of people have pointed out that two of last year's Best Picture nominees, at least two, Get Out and Dunkirk, were pretty darn popular. They made hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide. So are they not eligible in Best Picture this year, or do they have to move over to popular film? What's the point of that? And, of course, as a number of people have pointed out, popular films get nominated every year. I mean, Inception, Avatar, Dunkirk, Get Out, those are all in the last few years.
Okay, but let's talk about what happened last year. Shape of Water won, right?
Yes.
And that's a movie where a fish dances with a lady, as I recall.
Yes, sure.
And a lot of people either didn't see it or saw it and went, what the hell? We got us a big-time motion picture here with two of our favorite box office stars in The Post. And you got a war movie, and we got all kinds of fine movies to pick from, and the fish movie won. What the hell? And I wonder if that's what the Academy is thinking. You know, granted, that was a great achievement in film, but let's start picking films people like and want to see. What do you guys think about that?
Well, then it becomes a popularity contest, doesn't it? And have the Oscars ever been something that, I mean, they are kind of a popularity contest.
But hasn't that always been the criticism of the Oscars, that movies like that win, that we don't relate to?
Yes and no. I mean, you certainly get your Titanics and your Lord of the Rings, and you're not getting incredibly small movies other than your Moonlight every now and then. I mean, Shape of Water made $200 million worldwide. It's not exactly a little tiny movie from Hungary that no one saw.
I am characterizing it as that, aren't I?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, but put it this way, $200 million to Shape of Water, $180 million of which went, okay, what was that again? What?
I don't know if I agree with that. It is a voted on process by several hundred people, so I don't know if I fully agree with that.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
I mean, it's a democracy. If Dunkirk was a better film, if people thought The Post was a better film, which I certainly don't, if people thought The Post was a better film, it would have won. But the point, the bigger picture here is that awards like this shouldn't be about popularity. You know what's about popularity? The box office. The award and the prize for doing well and making money is making money. It's beach houses for the people who made it. You don't need another prize.
We talked about that episode of Mad Men yesterday. That's what the money is for.
That's what the money is for!
Exactly.
I don't have to say thank you.
Yeah. So why give them another prize? I mean, if the idea of the Oscars is that we're trying to, like, I think it should be part popularity, and it always has been, but it also should be shining lights on things that other people haven't seen, like getting people out to see a movie like Moonlight.
Yeah.
Moonlight was seen by 100 times more people than it would have been. That's a low number because of the Oscars. I think that's what the Oscars should be for. There's also this, like, inane idea that ABC pressured them because ratings are getting lower. It's the second highest rated program of the year after the Super Bowl, the Oscars is.
What do you think about the idea that ABC is pressuring them because they're owned by Disney, and Disney, makes Star Wars, Marvel movies, and obviously Disney movies, the most popular movies in the world.
And they don't get nominated, typically.
And they don't get nominated. I think it's incredibly valid and kind of gross if you think about it. I mean, the general consensus here is that if this award was given tomorrow, it would probably go to Black Panther. So essentially, a Disney-owned company pressured the Academy to give an award to their guy.
Should Black Panther win or be nominated?
Yeah, if you think about it that way, it's kind of really even more disgusting. The idea that we created an award for Black Panther. And then on top of that, even more and more disgusting, if you consider the fact that Black Panther may have gotten nominated without this dumb category. Like, people really, like Black Panther being the first Marvel movie nominated for Best Picture is a much better story than Black Panther winning Best Popular Film, whatever the heck that means.
What do you think you'd rather win? If you're a motion picture maker, do you care, or do you want to get Best Picture, or do you want to get Best Popular Picture?
Oh, you want to get Best Picture, especially now that the general consensus opinion on Best Popular Film has come out and that it's just like a participation trophy.
I have to say, I know, that's so well put, I think. It's everybody gets a trophy. I have to say this as just a measure, a piece of marketing. Maybe it is a trial balloon, as you suggest, Brian Tellerico.
Yeah.
The editor at RogerEbert.com is on a phone line, but there's so much bad publicity in front of this right now that rather than explaining it or promoting it, they have to manage it. They have to now deal with, I don't know that it's a crisis, you can't have one in the academies, but I mean, this is about as bad a rollout as you can get.
It is. And then here's another conspiracy theory, that they're doing this to disguise their other dumb decision, which is, I don't know if you've even heard this, that they're giving away some technical awards like art direction and maybe even costume design during commercial breaks. Those won't even be on television anymore.
Four-hour show. If they want to, I thought about this walking to the train today. I thought, all right, four-hour show, right? Say they make it 3 hours. What are the things that you want in that three-hour telecast? I want to see the In Memoriam. I want to see the long trailers of the five nominated films.
Fine.
Actually, there's 10 now. So.
10 now, yeah.
All right, so I'm up to 11. I want to see representative clips from the four major acting categories.
Okay. You're getting a little long.
I do want to see documentary. I don't know, because God bless those people, right? As somebody said one year, these are the people driving home in Honda Civics, so let's give them their due. And then I don't know if I want to see the songs that are nominated. But
no.
I've got a solid three hours.
We can do clips of the songs. We don't need bits like Army Hammer shooting T-shirts at people watching Wrinkle in Time or whatever was going on last year.
Right.
That went on forever. And that goes on for like 15 minutes. You know what I hate to say is, because we're talking about getting rid of things, I want the Lifetime Achievement Awards back.
I do, too.
I want those back. I think as a young film lover, I saw classic Hollywood people getting Lifetime Achievement Awards, and it got me interested in classic cinema. It got me interested. I saw clip packages. I saw, okay, this guy is important. I think those are actually really important to the Oscars, and I want those back.
What do you guys think? Finish that thought.
I don't understand why you're saying this is the best art direction or costume design of the year. This is an important part of our industry, and we're going to give it during a commercial break. I feel like that's even more insulting than giving it the night before.
It's like, telling us we don't appreciate
that. Yeah, we don't care.
And I, you know what, special effects, costume, especially in some of the movies lately, like Shape of Water. You know, you think, okay, there was some real achievement there, and I'm not too stupid to appreciate that fact. Plus, I just like it when sometimes there's somebody up there I've never heard of who's kind of quirky, maybe they're even a foreigner, and they are... And they're emoting, and you. So those are some of the best moments of the Oscars.
I agree. I mean, if I had to cut something, I'd cut the bits down. You could arguably move the shorts to like their own program, their own night, their own little pre-show, maybe, and that would cut out some time, like the documentary short and the animated short and the live short. But I literally don't understand the idea of taking major awards. I kind of even hate that more than Best Popular Film, to be honest. Of taking these people who've worked their whole lives. You've got some people who've been costume designers for decades who are finally going to get an Oscar, and it's going to be given while people are going to the bathroom on a commercial break. I hate that.
Okay, let me just walk through. Let's go back to the central point here.
Sure.
And your points. No, listen, I appreciate your passion for those points because I think they're shared by some of us. So much attention has been focused on this new category. We forgot that they're actually going to change the broadcast.
It's worth noting.
But what if that's the idea? We float this trial balloon.
Yeah.
It goes badly. We take it back, but we keep our other bad decision that you didn't really notice. That's my conspiracy theory.
What's that, Griff?
I was just going to say, when we did the news click on this, the buzz has been generally very negative. When we asked our listeners, it came out, do you like this idea, yes or no? 45% said yes.
And here's
interesting.
And this may be why. Let's just walk through some of the movies. So last year, Shape of Water wins. Brian has done a nice job telling you what a great movie that was and how much you enjoyed it. But Get Out did not win. Dunkirk did not win. Lady Bird, Phantom Thread wasn't going to win a popularity contest.
No.
But some more popular, more accessible movies did not. And so therein lies the argument for this. If you go back the year before, Moonlight won, which was a movie about, give me the descriptor of Moonlight, Griffin. Moonlight was about...
It's like the coming of age of a gay black man in Florida.
Told in various stages of his life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's Moonlight. La La Land did not win. And some people really liked La La Land. The year before...
Sure.
Spotlight wins. Spotlight was a movie a lot of people liked, but Mad Max Fury Road did not win.
Spotlight made hardly anything. So if we're talking about, like, in terms of box office, it didn't equal a lot of these movies we've discussed. So the question would you call that a popular film now or not? A lot of movies take time to get popular, and Oscars make them popular. Movies that we've watched over time that didn't make a ton of money when they came out, but we know they have Oscar pedigrees and Oscar histories. Oscar's role should be to elevate quality. It should not be to shine spotlights on things that already have spotlights on them.
I'm just going to give you one more example of the yin and yang of this. The year before, Spotlight wins, and Fury Road does not. Birdman wins. Remember the Michael Keaton movie, which was... bizarre and fantastic. Birdman wins. Guardians of the Galaxy does not. American Sniper does not. Grand Budapest Hotel does not. I mean, so those are some of the other nominated movies. But I think that would be an example for people where they would say, come on, let a film win that we like instead of that you people like. But I've made that point. Let me pause here. Come back, finish that thought. We'll play a clip or two from them. And here's a chance for you to call or text, too. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's the voice of Brian Tellerico, our guest. He's the editor at Roger Ebert.
And why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. No, you complete me.
You're garbage. You kill for money.
Don't talk like one of them. You're not.
That was the Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, obviously, as the Joker. He was nominated and won posthumously for that role, but it was not nominated for Best Picture, which I think a lot of people theorize precipitated them expanding that category to 10 movies, which is doing a similar thing that we've been talking about, which is... honoring more popular movies at the Oscars.
Boy, that clip makes me want to watch that movie again. Oh, my God. Wow.
He's good.
So where are you on this, Griff? We're listening to Brian's thoughts, but just real quick, what's your thought on expanding the categories to best popular picture?
I agree with Brian. I think he's right. I think it seems corporate and a little weird with Disney and ABC and cahoots. That strikes me as true. And I also think they should, if they want to honor these movies, just nominate them for Best Picture instead. Change the culture of the Oscars instead of adding.
Well, that's interesting. So shoehorn some of them in. Some of them have been shoehorned in, but they're just not winning. But
don't shoehorn them. Just include them.
Well, yeah. Pardon me for the wrong verb, but you know what I mean. I mean, change the culture. Brian, jump in here. What are you thinking about all of this? Oh, hold on a second. Why don't I put...
Which I also think it's worth noting that I think everyone agrees if the Oscars were tomorrow, Black Panther would get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
And I think it probably would in 4 months unless this category moves it to a separate place. So I have to ask fans of Black Panther why they'd be happy about that. Why you would take it off the main tier of Best Picture at the Oscars and put it in some new category that nobody really likes. So people who are in support of this, I'd have to ask, like, why do you want that? Because it has a better chance of winning, I guess. But like I said, I think being nominated for Best Picture is going to be more prestigious than winning Best Popular Film.
If I'm a director of a movie, maybe, I am going to petition. You watch. Here's my prediction. You know how they do those big ads in the California newspapers and the trade publications for their movies?
Some of them,
they are going to post ads saying for Best Picture. You know, they're going to actually promote that they be nominated in that category rather than the popular film category.
Well, we don't even know what the qualifications are for popular. Is it box office? Like, someone was arguing that it's like
Rotten Tomatoes.
Size of release. Like, if it's bad, yeah, well, that could be part of it, but that's just critical.
Yeah.
Like, no one really knows, which is once again part of my theory that this isn't really going to happen. I don't think they've really worked it out. I think that someone had the idea of floating it out there to see what people think. So this could all be moot in a few months.
Different topic. I got 45 seconds left. Should eighth grade be rated R?
No.
It reminds me of the controversy over King's Speech, which is amazing.
Sure.
What a great movie. Everybody should go see King's Speech rated R for a word, and this for an inference is rated R, and it's crazy.
It's silly. It's also the imbalance of studio systems versus small companies. If that was at a bigger studio, it wouldn't be R. Bigger studios, this is another topic for another time, bigger studios can kind of determine their ratings more, which is why you get so many violent big studio pictures that get PG-13s.
Never thought about it that way. Hey, listen, what are you writing about? If I click on, what am I going to see or see soon from you, Brian Tallarico?
It's a little dead out there. It's August. So, I mean, we've got lots of summer movie stuff, and some TV's starting to come back, so there'll be a lot more TV reviews coming up soon. You can also find me at Vulture and Rolling Stone, people out there who want to find me. And Brian Tallarico on Twitter.
That's good to know. Okay, keep it up, and we'll visit again another day. Thanks for your time this week, Brian.
Thanks, sir. Take care.
Yeah, Brian Tallarico is always a good conversation. It's 10:58. News is next. This is WGN. So nice to hear you lock out with that forecast and current conditions.
Feels so good.
Looks so good.
Oh my God, 81 degrees.
I got some family from out of town. They're all going to see Blue Man Group tonight. Haven't seen Blue Man Group in forever. Have you seen Blue Man Group, Domiti?
Never in life. It's been on my bucket list, and I haven't had a chance.
Joe Brand, have you seen Blue Man Group?
I've seen it twice.
Griff, have you gone to Blue Man Group before?
When I was a kid.
You know, it's the same show, but it's also changed a little bit. I mean, I've seen it a couple times, and each time it's about 10 years in between. And so I recognize some of the bits, and then some of it is different. It's not an inexpensive show. It is something you need to do before you leave Chicago or this earth.
So it is not overrated.
Every time I say that, I end up overrating things. So it's worth the money they're charging. Let's put it that way.
Okay, because to tell the truth, I tell myself things are overrated to make myself feel better for missing them. I'm like, Blue Man.
You know what, Tome? It's not worth $10. I wouldn't even go. In fact, it's terrible. It's the worst thing that's ever been invented.
There we go. I feel great.
It never hurts to go in with low expectations.
Well, that's kind of that's a good MO. Yeah. All right, so let's do this. Speaking of low expectations, it's time to broadcast part of the podcast that we call The Mincing Rascals, judged by the Chicago journalists as the best podcast in the city. They won the Lissiger Award. They are our own Steve Bertrand from WGN Radio News and friends of ours from the Chicago Tribune, Eric Zorn, the columnist, Kristen McQuarrie, the editorial writer and sometimes columnist, and Scott Stantis, who is the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. His Stan Mikita cartoon this week saying goodbye to the great Blackhawk player was well done. So we started talking about this bait truck that the city and a railroad on the south side put out in the Inglewood neighborhood. They literally post a truck on a corner on the south side, and they hope to bait somebody into trying to rob it, and then they arrest that person. So Steve Bertrand spoke first, and this is what he has to say about a tactic like that.
Well, it's not like they have hookers on the corner trying to lure Johns, you know, where they're literally entrapping someone.
Okay, I think it's almost exactly like that, but keep going.
Well, it's not, because you don't know what's in the truck. It's just a truck sitting there, like it could be a car or a house locked or anything like that. No one's saying, hey, come over here, honey, and I'll do this, and then you arrest them. It's a little less than entrapment in there. I'm not sure I love the idea, but they're not saying, you know, they're in trouble with guns being stolen from rail cars not far from here.
We talked about this a little bit at our editorial board meeting. It's one thing to have a sting operation, right? Which prostitutes they've done drugs. If they wanted to have an actual sting operation to target the theft of merchandise from rail cars from these containers, then you put up surveillance. And by the way, why is Chicago police doing this? And not the rail company, that's a legit sting operation. But placing merchandise in a place like this and in Inglewood, filled with Nike shoes by the Chicago Police Department at a time when they're trying to build trust with that exact community, seems like, I'm going to go with John's third description, a really dumb idea. It's not entrapment, but it's not, to me, good police
work.
Did
we know there were shoes in the truck?
Yes. The strangest detail is that they were unmarked Nikes. Is that correct?
Yeah, but the truck was locked, right? I mean, it's a truck with a lock on the back, and you don't know what's inside.
So it's like, let's make a deal. It's box number 3.
And then you go in, and there's shoes.
Or they're goats.
Yeah.
In general, I think it's not a bad idea. They've been using this with cars. They do bait cars to try to nab auto thieves. They use it with bicycles to try to nab bicycle thieves. So the police can monitor the actual, they have a GPS device on the bicycle or in the car so they can catch the thieves. I don't think that's a terrible idea. I don't think it would be a bad idea to put a car out on the railroad tracks and monitor it. But this particular operation, where it was and when it was, right after this weekend, right when the trust between the Chicago Police Department and the African American community is at an ebb, that was just a clumsy and badly timed, badly done.
But has there even been one arrest?
Yes.
From the shooting last weekend.
No.
So just think about that, because you've got to believe of the 70 people shot, somebody on the south or west side probably has a clue as to who pulled a couple of those triggers. They don't have one arrest on that a week later.
That speaks to a low level of trust from the African American community, right? It speaks to the dangers of being a snitch in a community like that, and in any community, but particularly in that community, and the fact that, you know, they're not going to clear a lot of these murders, so you really go out on a limb if you're going to be telling on someone who you think pulled the trigger. It's not surprising that they're not solving these crimes.
Well, I don't want to go into like a tangent, but I mean, that's also, then those people remain on the street. And so if you live in those communities and you actually want people punished and taken off the street, you do need to tell police. But I get that this whole operation with putting a container full of stuff right in their midst is just, to me, it's like lazy police work. It's not entrapment.
No, it's not. Legally not.
It's legally not, but it's not smart, and it's not surveillance in a way that I think would make sense.
Well, the ACLU has weighed in on this, and I suspect they're going to view this as a form of entrapment. So to dismiss that out of hand is...
I don't think they will. I don't think it is. It's not entrapment is if you were like to go over to a guy who is nearby and say, hey, I bet there's shoes in that truck. You want to break in and see. That would be entrapment. You'd be encouraging them to commit a crime. Well, just the actual fact of there being merchandise available to be stolen is not entrapment.
Well, Scott, you have a cold heart. Let me ask you this.
No, I don't. It's just tiny. That's all.
An impoverished community.
Yeah.
In an impoverished community where you think maybe there's merchandise in there that you could either keep or sell, do you have any sympathy for the people that are tempted by the parked truck, by the bait truck?
Oh, yeah. I think in that environment, in those communities, absolutely. Sure. I mean, and I have actually sympathy for a lot of people who are in those conditions. And like you said, 74 shootings in the city over a weekend and not one arrest? Really? The unmarked Nikes, we will protect them.
Well, these aren't, it's not either or, Scott, but it is. I'm saying the optics are terrible on this particular operation, and but I do understand why they have a hard time solving these shootings.
But Eric, it is either or, because the CPD continually complains that they are understaffed and they're stretched to the limit and all this other stuff. And so if that's the case, then I'd say this jokingly, Nikes versus human lives.
That may be a cartoon for you.
We dare defend our unmarked.
Well, the mayor was unmarked Nikes. There was the mayor pleading with people the next day, saying, if you know something, say something, right? I didn't even think about that. I thought, oh, gee, we'll solve these murders or we won't solve these murders, but investigators will look into it. And there was the mayor saying, you guys know who some of these people were. Come on and tell us, help us. Isn't it ironic that the people that need the protection the most from these bullets are afraid to actually cooperate?
Don't you understand why they're afraid to cooperate with
police?
Come on. I mean, you know, and at the same time, they're looking at each other going, this police department, they're the ones that have the cone of silence, they protect each other too. They see things going on in their department. They don't say anything.
It's a circle. We're like talking in a circle. They're not going to solve the crimes because there's no trust and the people won't speak to police. And so the crimes are going to continue to happen because these perpetrators, these violent criminals who went out and shot into crowds are still out there roaming around.
So when those people marched up, actually they didn't march up Lakeshore Drive, but they sort of started in Belmont on Lakeshore Drive and then went over to the Cubs game. And people were ticked, and they said, this is a stupid idea, and we didn't do it to you, and why are you sharing the pain? And then the next day, that was Thursday, so then that weekend starts on Friday, and all hell breaks loose. And so I thought on Friday on my show, or was it the following Monday, I said, okay, maybe that march wasn't such a bad idea, right? Because these people are desperate for some help.
Well, I'll stop you right there. Who's desperate for the help? The people who aren't talking to police about the killers?
The people marching up Lakeshore Drive.
The people are desperate for help. Why aren't they talking to police to get these killers off the street?
Steve, I think that's Pat. I really do. I think when you're people who live in those areas, I don't live there and you don't live there. None of us live there. But I believe that if you were in that situation and in that community and being asked to be the one who's going to be talking to the police, being the one who's identified as that person, that you feel that you're going to put yourself in danger, you're going to put your family in danger, and that the police have such a poor track record of solving these crimes anyway, that the person who you identify as the shooter is probably going to remain at large and may come after your family. I mean, I don't think it's that simple as being like, see something, say something. I think
I don't disagree with you, Eric, and I don't mean to imply that it is simple, but I mean, just John, to hear you, you know, exasperatedly say that these people are desperate and they're helpless. It's like, well, there are steps that could be taken, and I'm with them. I mean, I'm for the marches, I'm for all of that, but there are things that they can be doing too.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that they know that they're. It was just heart-wrenching to watch the collection of people standing outside of Stroger Hospital and sobbing and mothers wailing about their children you can't put everything on police if you're not going to cooperate to get these people off the street. They know. They probably, some of these people, it was a drug thing or it was a social media war. It was a fight over a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a gang issue or drugs. So they know who the perpetrators are, or they have a pretty good idea.
Here's something I don't know. I don't know if there's a way for people to get information to police anonymously.
Well, sure.
In a secure way where they really realize that this is not going to be traced back to them.
I don't know that that's the case. I think that's pretty obvious, the answer to that, Eric. I mean, my goodness, you don't have to stand on the street corner and say, Steve did it. You make a phone call, or I don't know how you...
I haven't heard anything about anonymous tip lines.
Well, the cops are in they're in the hospital rooms in Stroger. I mean, the detectives are there interviewing people who have been shot. I mean, that's like step one in an investigation, so...
Okay, but so you're in Stroger Hospital, you've been shot, and you know who shot you, and the cops come in and say, tell me who shot you, and you think that they should say the name.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying, I don't know that that's realistic.
I bet you some street justice from John Williams.
Well, I'd let the cops mete out some justice. So at Stroger, they had 200 people. 200 people at one time milling about because of the bodies coming in. At Mount Sinai, they actually had to turn people away for a while. So I asked the guy in charge of the emergency room at Mount Sinai yesterday, I said that I kind of ping-pong back and forth between who I'm mad at or what the solution is. You know, is it jobs or is it the police or is it the mayor? I don't know how we ratchet the violence down. But I said to him, lately my head is here. It's the mothers and the fathers of these kids. I mean, the ultimate responsibility, you know, Steve, the marchers, they may want to share the pain, but it's their problem to fix. Why is your 11-year-old out at 3 in the morning? Or what were you doing with this 18-year-old all along?
If the parents would only read to their kids and
that's part of it, though, Eric. The issue of, like, teen pregnancy and how that starts the clock on kids dropping out of school, boyfriends not having to take responsibility, lack of education, the stress that puts on young people trying to raise a child and having no money for diapers. And I mean, it is part of the issue is the family structure and the breakdown of the family unit. And it kind of bugs me that we never talk about that in the media. We're too afraid to kind of add that to the mix. Yes, it's the mayor. Yes, it's lack of development. I could talk about that all day long. But that family breakdown is part of it, too.
Scott, do you think this is going to cost Mayor Emanuel, if he is even allowed to run for office? We'll get to that in a second. But do you think this is going to cost Rom?
Yeah, I think, oh, clearly this is going to be an issue coming
into. Will it cost him the election?
No.
How about you, Eric?
Will it cost him the election? I've given up political forecasting since I predicted many times Donald Trump, the demise of Donald Trump's candidacy.
But, you have not.
Yeah. But well, you were wrong about Trump.
But since you asked.
And then he answered, and he... And Eric has more than once forecast the demise of the president, and that hasn't happened yet, now has it? It's 11:22, and that's the Mincing Rascals podcast that we broadcast in part on Saturdays. So it's local stuff, it's national stuff, it's sometimes political. It's always got a little bit of that, but we always have something else in the mix, too. And we always close with our recommendations, something we are eating, drinking, watching, or listening to that we think you would enjoy. I think you'll enjoy The Mincing Rascals. It's free. It's 11:22. What do you know? Some of the phones are ringing. Let's pick them up in a minute on WGN. If we start with Harriet, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Harriet. What do you want to say?
Hi. I wanted to say, I know the conversation, you guys are very well-meaning, and you're making a very logical point in terms of, you know, talking to a police officer, but I want to say this. I'm an African-American woman, solidly middle class, grew up in the suburbs. I live in the city now. I'm an educator. My son went to the finest high schools in Chicago, and I am terrified to speak to the police about a crime. If you've never been an African-American or a minority, I'm not sure that applies for everyone, but as an African-American woman, I have spoken with police, and there's been times I've tried to get help when a police officer intimidated my son and I, and it was the most horrific experience. My son was terrified. I was terrified when I attempted to make the complaint. And if that is just for a complaint, I can't imagine if these people are trying to report a murder. You guys don't understand. You really just don't understand what it's like to be a minority in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, the implication that Eric Zorn was bringing up is that these people are intimidated, not because they're worried about the treatment they're going to get from the cops, but they're worried about retaliation from members of gangs if they're known to have spoken to the police. Are you worried about that as well?
That would be definitely, because we're not talking about one person or the person who committed the crime against you. In these instances, I'm an educator in an area where there are lots of gangs. You're talking about a web of people who could come after you.
Harriet, and so you're making two points here, and I'm hearing them both, I think, but I want to make sure I'm clear about it. So, right, you're intimidated by a gang that might retaliate if you spoke to the cops and told them about a shooting, but you're also intimidated by or not trusting of the police to treat you fairly either. So you're between a rock and a hard place. You got nowhere to go in that situation.
I don't believe it would be kept confidential. I mean, my level of trust is just that low.
That's really interesting and sad and good that you called, Harriet. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing that thought.
Okay, and then may I say one other thing, just to give you perspective. I went to, Richard Roper was ahead of me, but I went to high school with him. So, I mean, I grew up in an environment where it was the police, and having interactions with police was not a normal thing. So this is not something I grew up with. It's something that's been developed over time.
It's getting worse, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Harriet.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad you're listening. We need to hear that. It's 11:30. Domiti Bongo from the WGN Radio Newsroom. This is John Williams. By the way, our Judy Pilak, who you hear in the afternoons on WGN Radio, is not in our studio. She's on the road. Hey, Judy, where are you?
John, I am at the Goodwill store in Glendale Heights, right off North Avenue.
Why are you there?
Well, I'm here to meet all of my Goodwill shoppers. We're having an event from noon to 2, so come on out. I'm out here, and we are giving away some fabulous prizes, of course. I have constructed a study suite, including a desk, a chair, lamp, all the accessories your student might need to have a successful school year. That will be just given away. All you have to do is when you walk in, just drop your name in a box. And not only that, we have so many other prizes to give away.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of them. Judy's, of course, not only our news person, but she does the Goodbye Girl segments. And so you set up a sort of scene, and you're going to give away that whole study set there, huh?
The whole thing. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty fantastic. I don't want to brag, but it's really, really good.
I'm reading.
And then we also have, we also have food, and we have Cubs tickets, Sox tickets, Bears tickets. Every about 15 minutes, we're giving something away, including what Goodwill shoppers really love, $25 gift certificates to Goodwill.
The Goodwill event is going on with Judy anyway. The store will be open longer than this, I guess, but you're in Glendale Heights from noon to 2, so you're there a little early, but you're going to be there until 2 o'clock, is that right?
Absolutely. Stop on by and say hi and do some shopping and win some prizes.
And can I get a selfie with Judy Pilak?
Well, of course. You know me, John. I love to get my picture taken.
I know you do. All right, Judy. Well, have a great afternoon.
Thanks so much.
It's Judy Pilak in Glendale Heights at the Goodwill store over there. Before we do our Vibe Score segment, Domati, you and I were chatting off the air. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that conversation we were having about the relationship that some people on the South and West Side have with the cops in Chicago?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to jump back, piggyback on what Harriet said. Even before she called, she said a lot of what I feel about this conversation was really hard to articulate unless you walk a day in the shoes of an African-American in this city sometimes. And, you know, I'm a college graduate. I work at WGN Radio, for God's sakes. And even if I'm stopping a cop to ask for directions, there's this apprehension that they have. It doesn't matter if I have a suit on. It doesn't matter if I have on a hoodie. And it makes you unsafe. Now, imagine if I was living in one of these impoverished communities.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to trust the officer to help me out. I'm thinking even about the bait truck. Unemployment in the 5 most dangerous neighborhoods in Chicago for black men under 21 years old is something like 90%. You drop expensive things in one of these neighborhoods and accost these petty thieves. What if one of those petty thieves had information about a murder?
Now, how willing are they to cooperate with the cops down the road? That's such an interesting point. And then, and obviously the railroad and the cops have backed off that idea. Maybe not forever, but the timing on it just could not be dumber. And as Kristen said, it's just lazy policing. That's a bad idea. But where Eric Zorn said, I think some of these people are afraid to talk to the cops because other gangbangers will find them. How interesting that you're reinforcing what Harriet said. Wait a minute. Some people are afraid to talk to the cops because they don't even trust the cops. Let alone they're worried about the bad guys that are shooting guns on the South Side. An important and enlightening point from Harriet, and thanks, Domati, for chiming in.
And a great podcast by you guys.
Yeah, the guys were on it, but like Harriet said, none of you know what it's like to be us. All right, Griff, 3, 2, 1, hit it. Listening to here, Griff.
That's Teenage Fan Club with a song called The Concept. This is an older one. This is from the 90s.
Why do I need to know about this morning?
Their albums are, this is off of an album called Bandwagon-esque, which is a modern classic to some. And a couple other albums of theirs are being reissued by their label and are back on store shelves now, if you can find a store that sells records.
Yeah, you can these days.
And people are reevaluating a little bit, and I just wanted to play that song because I love it.
What's the name of the band?
Teenage Fan Club.
Teenage Fan Club, and the name of that song was?
The Concept.
And you like that song?
I love it, yeah.
Joe, what did you make of Teenage Fan Club's Concept?
I'm pretty
proud of myself. I was about to say how I felt like it sounded like a 90s song, and it was. I don't know how music like that is able to slip through the cracks. I guess I'm not that multicultural, though, so maybe I'm just being naive. But, no, I enjoyed it, and I wonder what other 90s songs I haven't heard of before that I actually would enjoy.
1 to 100, you gave that song.
Let's go 90.
Domati Pongo. Here comes a low score, everybody.
I gave it a 65.
Charitable, charitable.
Reminds me of the end of a movie I saw in the 90s at some point. When I was, you know, the part where everyone graduates and the couple gets back together.
It's nice. The beginning credits of a movie called Young Adult, starring Charlize Theron.
Look at that. Domati, you're in the house.
And then it comes back later in the
movie. I'm giving it a 59. I'm too old for that. Griff, what did you say about that?
That's like a 95.
Wow.
I love that song.
Joe Brand, what's a topic you want us to vibe on this morning?
So with the Little League World Series starting to get into some pretty heavy momentum, I just recently saw this coach's pregame speech. His name is Cameron McDonough. He's the Maryland coach. I got some audio, and he's going back to a Saturday Night Live skit.
I need to introduce myself. My name is Cammy Big Shot. I am 39 years old, and I'm the head coach of Berlin Little League. You boys think you got a big game tonight? Well, laddie freaking da. Let's go out there and play some baseball, boys. What do you say here? Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
So I like it. I'm a huge fan of Saturday Night Live. But when you watch this video, I mean, these kids are 10, 11, 12 years old. I had to look back when Matt Foley, the actual year that the Matt Foley character was on Saturday Night Live.
It probably came out 10, 11 years before they were born.
Exactly. 93 to 97. I mean, they have no idea what's going on. So I don't know. I want to know, what is your guys' ranking on that motivational speech?
They don't get the reference to, Chris Farley doing Matt Foley, the motivational speaker, but they still probably think it's an adult yelling and sort of jumping around and being funny. I bet they liked it anyway, right?
I mean, yes. I can appreciate, you know, the whole loose, fun atmosphere of the Little League World Series, but honestly, some of them are trying to figure out what to do.
Joe, there's only one rating for this, and it's a 99. That is the coach taking the tension out of the air for these kids. It's perfect. So 99, and anybody can disagree, but they'll be wrong. Griff, what do you give it?
I do kind of agree. I'd like to see the video to see some of the reactions. Maybe they're already nervous, and then just throwing in an unknown like this sort of...
Is he pulling up his belt?
Rattles them.
He is.
Doing all that?
Little crouch to his stance, too. And he's a bigger guy, too. It fits pretty well.
I go 85.
Joe, what's your number? Joe's worried.
I guess you guys talk me into it. I'll go 85.
Domati, give it a 90, please.
I'm giving it 100.
Attaboy.
John called it perfect and still gave it a 99. Let the record show.
I don't give hundreds. I don't believe in them. What do you got for us, Domati?
So how much do you guys care on a scale of 0 to 100 that Jay-Z and Beyonce are in town?
Oh, that's huge.
I would have played it as the bump, except we did that yesterday on your show.
Yeah, we did it on Friday.
Crazy in Love, but... No, it's an honor just to be in the same tri-state area.
Really?
That's exciting.
Okay, they just went down on my book because I'm sorry, we're Chicago. They should be happy to play here, not us be that happy.
Well, let's have it both ways. It can go both ways.
Okay, all right. So, Domati, what are you going to score?
250.
250 on a scale of 1 to 100.
That's also when I'm giving the concert. I went last night.
Oh, my. And was it just, it blew your ears back, huh?
It was larger than life. It was perfect. The cinematography. Oh, my God.
Joe Brand, what do you make of them being in town?
Don't let me down, Joe.
Beyonce's a one-of-a-kind performer. I am a huge fan. I did not know they were in town, though, so I don't know how much my ranking can be validated, but I'll definitely go 89.
I was actually going to ask us to score the fact that Billy Joel is going to be in town, but that just shows you the generational divide here. I'm really jacked about Billy Joel honoring our little city by coming to Chicago, so that'll just be swell. He'll be at Wrigley Field.
Joe, if you had known that they were in town, you could have tried to get Beyonce to sing the national anthem at a Cougars game or something.
She probably would have had nothing else going on. You're absolutely right.
You have to
right.
be on top of these things.
How cool would that be, though? If I were Beyonce, I'll pause while you contemplate that. But if I were Beyonce or Billy Joel or somebody, wouldn't it be great to say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kent County Cougar game, and here to sing the national anthem is Billy freaking Joel, and then, you know, Beyonce or somebody comes out. How awesome would that be?
Oh, especially awesome if they announce Billy Joel and then Beyonce comes out. As you
get my point.
As you posited there.
I went to Seattle a couple years ago, took the tour at Safeco Field. It's where the Mariners play. We went into the visitors' clubhouse. The tour guide told us, well, we just changed the carpeting because Beyonce did a show here, and she didn't like the carpeting, so we got it changed for it. That is Beyonce's ability to just change things with a snap of her fingers.
It'd be an honor to change the carpet for her. Just stand by that.
I'm asking you guys to vibe on this, please. The Oscars, Griffin, My Stealing Yours, has a new category, Best Popular Film as opposed to Best Picture. Griff, 1 to 100. What's your hope or expectation or vibe for the Best Popular Film category?
I hope they scrap it, as Brian Tallarico told us they likely would, or at least that's what he thought. It wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And I hope that's the case. I would go low. I would go 10.
Griffin's giving the idea a 10. I'm just going to play the everyman card and give it a 75. While I don't like it, I think a lot of people are going to be happy to have the films that they like more get a win. So maybe there's that. I don't know. Joe, where's your head on this one?
This is the whole conversation of giving trophies to children for just participating. No, I don't know.
No, that's the analogy.
How important is the popular vote? I mean, how important is winning the most popular film compared to winning Best Picture?
Best Picture.
Yeah, I just feel like it won't matter as much. I'll give it a 60.
60. Doma T. Pongo, please.
A 25. That Disney piece really concerns me. The lobbying by Disney is so interesting.
That made it really icky for me. It's on ABC, owned by Disney. Disney films don't actually win usually because they make popular movies, not artistically perfect movies, and so this is just a way to jack it up for the network. That's fascinating.
And I forgot to mention when we were talking to Brian, the very first Academy Awards did have this. They had two Best Picture winners that year. One was for Outstanding Picture.
Like a 1929 or whatever.
And one was for Unique and Artistic Picture. And Wings won the first Best Picture Oscar, but then the artistic winner was Sunrise.
Huh.
To silent film.
Anybody else got anything else they want to throw into the mix, or are we wrapping this up here, kids?
I think we're done.
That's our little Vibe Score segment. We check out a few things, starting with the musical selection Griffin has for us on Saturdays.